You may remain standing for the reading of the scriptures. It's found in Luke, the very last chapter. This is a narrative, the story of Jesus with two disciples who are on the road to Emmaus, a little village outside Jerusalem. They're going home rather discouraged and a little bit confused. And Jesus falls in step with them and walks along with them, and they don't recognize him. And the story picks up in verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He, that is Jesus, acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And they were talking about these things. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and for marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. We have here three of the many post-resurrection appearances of Christ. That is, those times when Christ met with various of his disciples after his resurrection and before his ascension. This is probably one of the most neglected and slighted areas of the life of the ministry of Christ on earth. I submit to you that it was the most important days. There was a period there of about 6 weeks, 40 days, when Jesus would appear to various disciples in a variety of situations, indoors and outdoors, during the day, during the evening, small groups, large groups, and single disciples, and manifest himself, as Luke says in Acts, manifest himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. In other words, it was demonstrably certain that Jesus, the very Jesus that they had all seen and known for 3 years, the very Jesus that had been crucified, was now walking among them in the flesh, living and breathing, eating, conversing with them. And here's three of the episodes. The first one is the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and we kind of picked up the story in the middle. And then continuing to these same disciples returning to Jerusalem and meeting with the 11. And then finally, the last few verses there was sometime later when Jesus ascended, the account of the ascension of Jesus back to heaven, when his earthly ministry in the flesh was brought to a close at that point. And by the way, let me mention, Jesus has an earthly ministry in the flesh, in the plans, in the works. One of these days, he will rule and reign on this terrestrial ball over all of humanity in an everlasting kingdom. Those few short years he spent on earth 2,000 years ago was just to come and to take care of some important work. And that was the work of living a perfect life and dying a sacrificial death and being raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit. And this period of time between the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ is absolutely critical. It is what turned the whole disciple group around. When Jesus was crucified, the disciples scattered. The shepherd was slain and the sheep scattered. And they were not only were scattered, but they were also completely demoralized. And even Peter said, "I'm going back to fishing." And Jesus' appearance to his disciples during this period of time is what completely changed them from being a very, very depressed and discouraged, discombobulated group into being the apostolic band that bravely stood and bore witness, first in the temple from the day of Pentecost forward, daily preaching in the great porticos of the temple, Solomon's porch and other places, and proclaiming to all of the people in the great throngs the gospel of Jesus Christ. They knew what they were talking about. They could not help but testify to that which they had seen and heard. They had seen Jesus alive. Now, this little episode here, we don't obviously have a lot of time today, but let me just sort of highlight a few things from it. This is a very rich passage and can be mined quite extensively, and we've even looked at it already in our series on understanding the doctrine of the Word of God. But I want us to see here the walking feet and the burning heart and the opened eyes. Let's just think about those in that way. The walking feet. Several times in this passage, the author, Luke, refers to them being on the road. They're on the road to Damascus. On the road, it's Paul on the road to Damascus. They're on the road to Emmaus. They're on the road walking and talking and trying to make sense of what they saw. And Jesus falls in with them and begins to listen to their conversation. And Jesus, on two occasions in this text, Jesus kind of fakes it a little. He acts like he don't know what's going on. That's so he can draw out of them the testimony that they gave. And listen to the testimony. They said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people." They already had this incredible understanding of who Christ was, a prophet of God, a preacher of the word of God, mighty indeed, great man, phenomenal. We had given our lives to him. We had followed him and forsaken all. And yet they tell the story of how the chief priest and all had conspired against him and had finally brought him and condemned him to death and crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one that would redeem Israel. But alas, he's dead. But just this morning we've heard reports that he is not in the tomb where we know they buried him. And some have reported that he is alive. And we don't really know what to think about this. In other words, Jesus elicited from them the gospel. He made them preach to him the gospel. He wanted to see if they caught it. if they got it right, if they understood his person, if they understood his work, if they understood the events, the historical events correctly and sequentially. And they did. So once they had preached to Jesus the gospel, now they just needed the confirmation. And our story picks up here how that he begins to teach them. And he said, "Oh, you foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" If you really understood Jesus as a prophet, you would have understood what he was talking about. He had to do this because this is the burden. Christ died for our sins, Paul says, according to the scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament, the Holy Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures, the canon of Scripture that we looked at now for several weeks. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. I would have given anything if I could have been on that road that day and heard Jesus himself pick out the highlights from Genesis all the way through to Malachi. The passages concerning himself. I imagine as they walked along this road, it took them all day to get home. They got home at dinner time. And they would probably just stop and ponder and maybe ask Jesus to clarify. And he would teach them some more. And then they would walk some more. And then they would walk some more. I'm telling you, that's the way the Christian life is conversed. It's a walking, talking religion. It is to be in your daily life, in your daily walk, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. The gospel and the content of the gospel and the presence of Christ should be always near, not very far. "These words shall continually be in thy mouth," God told Joshua. "You shall think of them on the way. You shall think of them when you sit down. When you rise up," there's a walking and an understanding of who Jesus is. It's marvelous of what he was trying to teach them. Then, the walking feet. But look at the burning heart. This is the way they testified about that experience. They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture?" They're sitting there. They've had the meal, which we'll speak of in a second. And Jesus has departed. And they're just sitting there trying to take it all in. But there was something that had actually inflamed their viscera. They had heard the story of Christ from the scriptures. From the lips of the living Word. The living Word opening up the written Word and showing them the things. And there was nothing more thrilling. There was nothing more exciting. There was nothing more energizing in the world than to have that experience with Christ. Their hearts burned within them. Christianity should be a religion of heartburn. You should have a fire in your bones about the gospel to tell the gospel to someone, a child, a neighbor, a friend, a spouse, a stranger. The basic story of the gospel, how that it was necessary for Jesus to die. If Jesus hadn't have died, we would all die in our sins. But because he died for us, we can live forevermore. The burning heart. And then look finally at the opened eyes. And this is the part, of course, that's kind of the burden of the story. Their eyes, in verse 16, is kind of an interesting phrase. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. When he was on the road walking and talking with them, but they didn't really recognize him, particularly who he was. They knew there was someone there that was talking with them. And they enjoyed the company and certainly what he taught to them, but they didn't realize who was teaching it to them. And their eyes did not recognize him. But then look at verse 32. 31, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Two opposite experiences. On the road, they did not recognize him because their eyes were kept from recognizing him. But now, in the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Jesus is recognized. He is known when he comes to us in the breaking of the bread. That's why we have in this service communion every Sunday, is because we know the importance of answering that door where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." The presence of the Lord, the recognizing of the Lord, the knowing of the Lord, the fellowship with the Lord comes in the supper. Why don't we enjoy it?